Thank you, thank you. So, we are learning a lot. So I just wonder, now again, God is spirit, right? Jesus is a man in the flesh and is God in the flesh. So we need to be clear about that. And God the Father and the Holy Spirit, is not a man or a woman, is not male nor female, but God tries to say, this is what I'm like. I am your Father, and I'm like a nurturing, gentle Father, right? Like a mother would nurture her child. So it's good for us to understand what he's like. So I wonder, why do you think it is we don't hear about that a lot? You know, a lot of people just hear all the masculine images. And of course, we're not going to change God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We can't play with God's word. It has to stay the way it is. Like, there's a reason God says Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But why don't we hear a lot, did you know that God's like a nurturing mother? Did you know that God, that the Holy Spirit gives us birth and then comforts us? Do you know that God says he carried Israel in the womb and delivered Israel? Why don't we hear that a lot? I honestly think it's connected to this Platonism, because it's, you know, the male has to be higher, and then how can God include the woman thing? So I think there's a spiritual war around it, to be honest with you, because when you look at the Bible, there's so much where God compares himself to a nurturing mother. And I'm not saying we're supposed to call God mother. I'm not saying that. But God mothers us. God mothers us. So we're talking about the Holy Spirit, the inner child. And okay, the word inner child, I know I've seen that used in kind of New Age contexts. I'm in no way going there. I'm talking about the inner person that is talked about in Ephesians, okay, where the Holy Spirit wants to minister to our inner person. I often say inner child because so many times wounded parts of our inner person are from our childhood, right? But it doesn't have to be, you know, it's our inner person. It doesn't have to be the term inner child. Just to clarify that. So our inner person needs to receive God's love and nurturing, right? I love what Jesus said to his disciples when he sent them out. He said, preach, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Freely you have received, freely give. And that's in Matthew 10, verse 7 to 8. Okay, what are we hearing there? You have received from the Spirit, right? You have received, now you can give, right? And the gifts of the Holy Spirit are free. It's just us receiving them. So again, we need to receive the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and then we can give. Again, isn't that a beautiful balance? It goes right against this inner critic, go, go, you have to do, you don't matter, right? No, we receive and then we can give. So what does the Holy Spirit do? We talked about what the Holy Spirit's like. What does the Holy Spirit do? Well, Luke 4:18, also Isaiah 61:6, Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Spirit has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to set captives free, to open the eyes of the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to open prison doors of those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, which speaks to me of justice, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. This is what the Spirit does, right? Comforter, consoler, helper, counselor. Wow. Preach good news, heal brokenhearted, set the captives free. It's beautiful. Free those who are oppressed, open prison doors, bring comfort, bring joy, take away that spirit of heaviness. This is what the Holy Spirit does. And And God gives us, the Holy Spirit wants to do that, first of all, for us, right? For our inner person, wants to heal and free and comfort and take away the heaviness and bring truth. It's beautiful. And the Holy Spirit gives us gifts, supernatural gifts, okay? So that we can receive this and freely give it. And in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 to 11, it lists the gifts. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the gift of faith, the gift of healing, the gift of miraculous powers, the gift of prophecy, the gift of discerning spirits, the gift of speaking in tongues, the gift of interpretation of tongues. And it says the same Spirit who gives these gifts distributes to each one individually as the Holy Spirit wills. So the Holy Spirit wants to give us all a gift. But we can't say, well, I just want this one, not that one. It's up to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit knows us, right? And you know, some people say everybody has to speak in tongues. Well, you know what? The Bible doesn't say that. It doesn't. You know, it's nice to speak in tongues, but it doesn't say that everybody has to. The Bible says it's one of the gifts, and if the Holy Spirit wants to give it to you, all we have to do is receive it. And that's a gift we can have. It doesn't mean we can't ask, but it doesn't mean that we're absolutely going to get it. It doesn't say everybody has to speak in tongues. That's just one of the gifts. And if the Holy Spirit gives you the gift of healing, because he might, and I can say he. You know what? When it says the word for comforter is actually a masculine noun. So, you know, he, wisdom is she, spirit is it. God is spirit. You know what I mean? It's just, let's understand what God is like. Let's understand what the Bible says. So, yes, if the Holy Spirit gives you the gift of physical healing, okay? You also have to know that you don't have to be stressed and try to make it happen, right? It's being led by the Spirit. And not everyone is healed on earth. We're all healed in heaven, okay? Some people are healed on earth. Not everybody is. And I've seen some people who do have the gift of healing, but then they feel like they have to make sure that, you know, everybody gets healed. And if you didn't get healed, well, then you didn't have enough faith. And you know, they try to make it happen. There's all this stress and pressure. No, let's let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit does. If the Holy Spirit leads you to pray for someone, pray, and then you can let it go. It's up to the Holy Spirit, right? To heal or not to heal. You can't make it happen. We can't control the wind. We can't control the fire. The Holy Spirit won't be controlled. So you can just relax. You don't have to make anything happen. It's just learning to walk in the Spirit. But I'll tell you something that we can know, that we can receive, all of us. And that's wisdom. And it's interesting how wisdom keeps coming up, right? As wisdom is part of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible promises, both in the Old and New Testament, if you, first of all, it says seek wisdom. Seek her like hidden, like a hidden treasure. Seek her like silver. Promises, if we seek wisdom, we will find it. That's not, well, maybe in heaven. No, not maybe in heaven. Of course, everything in heaven. But it's not maybe on earth. Yes, we will have wisdom on earth, for sure, if we seek wisdom. We will have it now if we take the time to say, give me wisdom. And even with all the things that, you know, we've been talking about this weekend, I encourage you to say, Holy Spirit, talk to me about this. You know? Like, really, like, what is this all about? Teach me, Holy Spirit. Show me. Help me understand this, you know? Teach me about this. Is this, you know, are they a little off? Are they right on? Teach me, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the teacher, right? And some people say, well, you know, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, no, that's over. You know, that's a time of the past. They take a certain scripture verse that's kind of vague, and they say, nope, the gifts of the Spirit are not for today anymore. Well, I would challenge that with Acts 2, verse 17 to 18. We read this yesterday. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy, gift of the Holy Spirit. Your youth shall see visions. Your elders shall dream dreams, gifts of the Holy Spirit. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. The Holy Spirit's gifts are for today, very clearly in Scripture. And some of you might say, why didn't you say young men shall see visions and old men shall dream dreams? Well, just another little translation thing. The word for young men can either be a group of young men or a group of males and females, okay? So it can either be translated young men or youth. And the same one with old men, it can either be translated a group of men or a group of men and women, okay, which would be elders. And it's based on the context. So if it's just talking about men, and then this word came up, you'd say, well, young men. But what's the context of this verse? What is God saying? All flesh, sons and daughters, men servants, maid servants. He's talking about both. Again, do you see the bias there, right? Why didn't they say youth? He's talking about men. This is what fits the context. But what's happening, you know? There's this battle going on. So the Holy Spirit is for today. The Holy Spirit is for men and women. The gifts are alive and well. And we don't have to be afraid. The Holy Spirit is relational. The Holy Spirit is a comforter and powerful. You know, in John 4, verse 13 to 14, Jesus told the woman at the well that he wanted to give her the living water, water that would satisfy the longings of her soul. He went out of his way to meet with her and said, drink this living water. You take this living water. He saw her need, right? The Bible says to seek God's Spirit, to wait on God's Spirit, to be empowered by God's Spirit, and to listen to what God's Spirit has to say. It's all about relationship, right? The Holy Spirit also convicts of sin. It shows us, oh, that wasn't okay what you just did, you know. You need to apologize. You need to repent of that. Gently but firmly. The Holy Spirit says, leads us into all truth and teaches us. The Holy Spirit guides us and reveals Jesus. The Holy Spirit even brings things to remembrance that we need to remember that God has said to us. Relational, and we need the Spirit. Now, Isaiah 30, verse 1 to 5 says, woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel but not of me, and who devise plans but not of my Spirit. They walk to go down to Egypt and have not asked my advice. What's God saying? I want you to ask me. I want you to seek my Spirit. 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 2 to 3, the king of Samaria fell and was injured. He sent messengers and said to them, go inquire of Baal Zebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover from this injury. But the angel of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite and said, arise, go to meet the messenger of the king of Samaria and say to them, is it because there is no God in Israel that you are going to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore says the Lord, thus says the Lord, you shall not come down from the bed to which you have gone up, but you shall surely die. God says, seek me. Seek my counsel. Ask my advice. Go to my Holy Spirit. Do not go to other gods. It was at a great price that we were allowed to have the Holy Spirit. Jesus had to die, rise again from the dead, so we could be clean and be ascended into heaven. And only then could the Holy Spirit come down and fill everyone who has been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. In Jeremiah 2, verse 13, God says, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they have hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. So are we going to this precious gift that cost God the Father? His heart broke having to send his son. He chose it, but it was hard. It was really hard for him. When he talked about the sword piercing Mary's soul, believe me, it pierced him too when his son died. And Jesus came so that we could be filled with this Holy Spirit. We have to be careful not to neglect the gift Right? We need to be careful to seek. And it's not out of a fear that God's going to get us, but it's just a reverence. Whoa, this is quite a gift. And this is a gift that is something that needs to be treasured. We need to be careful not to go to other gods, to other spirits. John 7, verse 37 to 39, Jesus cries out, "If anyone thirsts, come to me, and I will give them life-giving water." Anyone. Does that leave any of you out? Any of, just talking also to your inner person here, any person that thinks, well, I'm not good enough, it's for everyone but me. It's like, anyone, if anyone comes, if anyone's thirsty, come to me and I will give them life-giving water. So how do we come to Jesus? How do we get the Holy Spirit? How do we get these gifts? It's very exciting. How do we do that? How do we receive God's Holy Spirit who longs to lead us, guide us, quench our thirst, nurture us, and set us free? Well, first of all, we need to understand that Jesus came to free us from all guilt and shame. There was an exchange done on the cross, okay? Jesus is pure, holy, and righteous. Jesus never sinned. He's pure. Pure as gold, you know? And we've all made wrong mistakes. We all have real guilt. And Jesus said this, "Let me put your guilt and sin on me, and I'll take it to the cross, and I'll pay for it. And then let me put my righteousness on you." That's what happened. It said Jesus became sin for us. He took it all upon himself, and he put it to death. So he said, "You give me that, and I'll give you my righteousness." That exchange was on the cross. This is the good news of the gospel. There's no guilt or shame for us in Jesus. Jesus took it to the cross. We can now be clothed in his righteousness. You know, we can't be perfect. We need to repent of what we know is wrong and say, "God, help me to do what's right." But we're not going to be perfect. It's not our righteousness that saves us. It's Christ's righteousness. John chapter 1, verse 29, John said to Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." So, if this symbolized sin, and Deborah came here and ran away with it, took it away, where is it? Gone. You got it. Takes away. He takes it away. We have sin. He takes it away. Psalm 103, verse 12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us." If something is as far as east is from west, where is it? It's gone. As far as east is from west, that is gone, right? Isaiah 43, 25, God says, "I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins." Blots out. If you have a stain, you put the shout it out, put it in the, you know, washing machine, comes out, and I say to you, "Please find me that stain." Can you find it anywhere in the washing machine? It's gone, right? It's blotted out, gone, gone, gone. That's the good news. So, Hebrews 4, verse 16 says, "Let us come boldly to the throne of grace." All you inner persons here that's afraid, come boldly, come boldly. All guilt, all shame, it's gone. It's gone. Jesus took it away. You don't have to carry that anymore, and you don't have to let it guilt you anymore. Jesus came to set you free from that. We can bring all our guilt to God, knowing we are always loved, valuable, precious, and priceless to God. Even if you're struggling with sin right now, you don't know how to stop, you're struggling. You know, if you're repentant and saying, "God, help me with this, I'll do what I need to do, just show me and help me," that attitude, you know, your sin is covered because your heart is repentant. And there's nothing we need to keep from God. Again, talking about the inner person. You know, it says, we've learned, it's good to pour out our feelings to God. But it's like, but what if there's like sin behind the feelings? Well, what if there is? What are we supposed to do with sin? Who takes care of that? God. So bring it to him, right? You know? But what if there's something demonic and something evil? It feels like that. Well, what do we do with that? Push it away, right? Let it fester, or do we bring that to God too? Who's the one who delivers us from the evil one? God. So even if you're confused and you don't know, is it sin? Is it just feelings? Is it demonic? I don't know. There's nothing you're supposed to keep from him. Bring it to him. He's the one to listen to feelings, to help us with sin and to forgive us for sin. And he's the one who delivers us from the enemy. Again, you're all a beautiful flower in God's garden. Will you let him nurture you? Will you let him garden you? Will you let him water you and shine on you and let you grow? That's really all he wants. When we talk about God, really, what is he all about? He's like, would you just let me parent you? Would you just let me father you? Would you just let me mother you? Would you just let me love you? Would you just let me water you and nurture you? But you need to take the time to just be with me. Stop being so busy. Don't be like Mary. Sit at my feet. Don't be like Martha, you know, who's I have to, I should, I must, and then get frustrated at everybody else because if they're resting, that means you have to do more work. How about learning to take the time? Of course there's stuff to do, but take the time to dine, to be gardened, to be nurtured. God, that's what he wants. He's like, won't you just let me? Won't you just let me parent you and love you? For some reason, that's hard for us, isn't it? To slow down and let him do that. It's hard for us because a lot of it is the shame. I got to keep busy, right? I don't want to feel. Zephaniah says, God will rejoice over you with joy. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. What kind of picture does that bring to mind? Hey, this is our God. This is what he wants. This is why he created us, for love. I'm going to just read to you the simple gospel. Bob and Deborah, could you just hand these out? Thank you. So this is the simple gospel. I'm sure you've heard it, but it's good to hear it again. Because we need to truly receive Jesus in order to receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ loves you. He came to earth from heaven to die on the cross and rise again. He did this so you can be forgiven for any mistakes and wrong choices you have made, and so that you can go to heaven when you die. Jesus paid the penalty for all people. He took our punishment for us. This is on the handout. By the way, feel free to copy it and give it to people. Jesus wants to have a friendship with you. He is there to give you a listening ear, comfort, wisdom, strength, and perfect love. He is kind and gentle, and he promises he will never leave you. And you can talk to Jesus anytime. He is always there to listen patiently to whatever concerns you. This relationship with Jesus is not about a list of rules or rituals. Okay, are rules important? Yes. The Ten Commandments stand forever, right? It's good for us to review those and say, hey, how am I doing with these, right? The Ten Commandments are good. Can we keep them all perfectly? Absolutely not, but they are important. And are baptism and communion very important? Absolutely. But is it about trying to keep all these laws and do all these rituals? No. It is about a heart-to-heart connection with Jesus, the God of love. And he is there to receive any person who comes to him sincerely, no matter where they are at in life. And the key word is sincerely, right? If you wish to receive Jesus' gifts of forgiveness and friendship, you can receive them by saying this prayer to him. And I'm going to say this prayer, and I'll just say a sentence and repeat it if you want to repeat it with me, either as a first-time commitment or as a recommitment. You can say it in your heart or out loud. I just want to give everyone a chance to make this recommitment, and even for your inner person, because I'll tell you, this is interesting, but let's just say you gave your life to God when you were 25, okay? And let's just say you have a wounded part of your inner person stuck in a memory from when you were 10. The way it works is when we're trapped in these memories and this part of us is kind of pushed away, when that door opens, it's like that part feels like they're back there and they're 10 again. And that part doesn't know God. Now, of course you're saved. It's a wounded part of you. But that part doesn't know God yet. And that's why it's so confusing when people are triggered sometimes. They're like, oh, I was feeling so close to God. It was so great. And then this trigger happened. And it's like I don't even think about him anymore. It's like I don't even think to pray. What is wrong with me? It's like that part of you needs to catch up with the rest of you. That part of you, that door's open now, needs to know the past isn't happening and needs to get to learn about God. And that's what happens. It can feel very confusing if you don't understand that. So I'm going to say this prayer, and if you feel like repeating that, please do. And if there's any parts of us that need to say this prayer, even parts besides our mind that need to say this prayer from the inner person, that would be wonderful if that would happen. So, dear Jesus, please forgive me for the mistakes and wrong choices I have made in my life. Please forgive me for the mistakes and wrong choices I have made in my life. And please help me to live right. Please help me to live right. Thank you that you willingly died for me. Thank you that you willingly died for me and paid the penalty for me on the cross. I give my life to you, and I receive you as my forgiver, my God, and my friend. Amen. And that is the simple gospel. Feel free to photocopy this if you want to change it to, you know, word it a little differently, that's fine. But this is the simple gospel. Even a child could understand this. In fact, we wrote this when our son was just in grade school, and one of his little friends said, "I'm scared I'm not going to go to heaven." And he said, "Oh, Mommy, what should I tell him?" I said, "Oh, let's write something out for him that you can give him," because I get in trouble from school, but that, because he asked me, I said, "You can give it to him because he asked you, and let's write out something very simple that he could understand." And I've, you know, added a few things here and there, but this is where this came from. And sometimes, you know, I keep these in my purse, and sometimes God will say, "Put it in that mailbox." And it's awesome because it's really, so you can photocopy these, and who knows what God might do with it, or give it to this person. But that is the simple gospel, and people need to understand this. John 17:3 says, "Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." It doesn't say this is eternal life that they know about you. It's that they may know you, right? Again, the relationship. Let's take that time to know God. And I grew up in a very traditional church, and I always had a respect for God. Always, and God really met me with me as a child in the traditional church. But I didn't really give my life to God or know about that until the end of high school. And I remember it was just amazing when I made that decision to give all my life to God. Like, to me, God was good, but he was out there somewhere. Not sure if he really loved me, but I respected him, and I would talk to him. And when I said a prayer, something like this, and I said, "Okay, God, I give you my whole life," it was like he was here. I'm like, wow, he's not out there anymore. He's here. And it's so true. It's like that they may know you, not just know about you. This is eternal life. 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, "He died for all people so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for the man who died and was brought back to life for them." Hey, are we willing to live for God, to be led by the Holy Spirit? It's very, I mean, life is hard, but we have a comfort, you know? And there's an excitement. It's you don't know where the wind's going to guide you, right? And you never know the beautiful things that the Holy Spirit might lead you to do. And the Holy Spirit wants your inner person to learn to rest and to play as well. So, if you have made this commitment to live for Jesus, then you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And maybe the worship team could come up. I just want to say that Bob and Deborah and I will be here if anyone wants us to pray for them to be filled. The Bible says that one way to receive the Holy Spirit is by the laying on of hands. So people who have the Holy Spirit, you know, they lay hands on, and that's one way. But that's not the only way. It talks also about, you know, they were in the upper room waiting and seeking God, and the Holy Spirit fell. It talks about, I think Peter was preaching and the Holy Spirit fell. So it's not the only way. We don't want to box God in. And even if you just want a new, fresh touch of the Holy Spirit, feel free to seek the Lord, wait on him, or you can come up and we'd love to pray for you to be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit. Okay, and Bob wants to say something. And thank you all for coming. And it's been such a pleasure. And may you walk in the Spirit. And please feel free to take a flower home if you want to. They're easy to care for. To dust them, you just kind of do this. Hello. And you're free. Feel free to take one. Thank you very much.
In lieu of an instructional DVD, Helga provided that live demonstration of how to dust the flowers. I love it when she does that. So, I just wanted to add a little bit of something. Helga touched on, is there no God in Israel that you would go somewhere else and ask for guidance and help and all this? We read sections of the Bible where God wants to be our God, and he doesn't want us to go anywhere else. And I really felt that I should underline what his heart is there. He talks about either going to his Spirit, who will fill us with springs of living water, or broken cisterns that don't even hold water. Why does God want us to go to him? Because he loves us. He loves us. He wants us to drink. He wants us to have water that gives us life. And he knows that an empty, broken cistern won't do that for us. At best, it'll do nothing. At worst, it'll cause us pain. It'll bring us into bondage. And remember, he wants us free. So, I just felt like I should add that. Yeah, thanks.